The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Clinton Yates, Sarah Spain, Justin Tinsley. Have mercy, that's a good look, Frank Isola. I don't even need to say anything. I've said nothing, I don't need to say anymore. You're not in the mood, you get in the mood. Conference championship weekend, let's go.
Yeah, baby. Last weekend was
Frank, I don't want to sleep with any fishes after this. Watch yourself.
Watch yourself. Watch your mouth.
Cincinnati at Kansas City, Mahomes versus Burrow. But of course, you know they don't play each other. They play each other's defenses. This isn't your first rodeo. 4 weeks ago, KC didn't need the game. Early lead for Kansas City, but Burrow to Chase was unstoppable, almost comically so. The Bengals had their best win of the season. How both teams come in from last week. Cincinnati, the road win over the one seed. All those interceptions their defense had, but all those sacks their offense allowed on Burrow. And Mahomes, 13 seconds, no need to say more. Let's start with path to victory for Cincinnati, because they're a 7-point underdog here. That would be a huge upset. How can Burrow and the Bengals beat the Chiefs the second time in a month? Clinton Yates, around the horn to you.
I think they do it by sticking with the exact same formula. You mentioned that the Chiefs didn't need the game, but it wasn't like they came out and laid an egg. They had no turnovers. They won the battle of possession. They were averaging over 7 yards a game and 7 yards a play, and they still got outscored 17-3 in the second half. I don't think the Bengals need to do anything more than just show up and try to outshoot them the same way they did. I realized that game was in Cincinnati. I realized this is a different situation and the stakes are higher, but the pressure is higher on the Chiefs right now. The Bengals are playing with house money. They deserve to be there. This is a game that they can win. And I wouldn't be shocked if they did it all.
I hear everything you're saying here. Just show up is the path to victory for Clinton Yates. Sarah Spain, Cincinnati's path to victory. Is it just show up?
Let me build off that, because I agree a lot of the game plan last time needs to happen the same way for them. Patrick Mahomes only accounted for 50 yards in the second half of that game. The Chiefs only possessed the ball 3 times in the last 2 quarters. Mm-hmm. That's what they need to do. The Bengals want another shootout, and they need to hold on to possession of the ball because their defense is not going to be able to make enough stops to make this a low-scoring game, and their offense is their strength. Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow together are so hard to stop. So, yeah, use what they did last time and hope to make the Chiefs miss on tackles as much as they did. Take advantage of Burrow not being on his butt as often because the Chiefs' pass rush isn't going to get to him as much. And then cross their fingers and pray because, gosh, Mahomes is getting even better and better since they last saw him.
Justin Tinsley, the path to victory for Cincinnati. Yates and Spain think it's there. It's clear. Do you see it as clear?
I mean, it's clear, but you still got to go out and execute it. Like, look. We understand what's on the line here. We understand that, like, yeah, you're trying to beat Mahomes 2 times in a month, and especially with the second time with the Super Bowl on the line, that's daunting. And, yes, we all know about the stats with Mahomes in the playoffs. The dude's pretty much unbeatable when he doesn't play Tom Brady. But here's another stat. Mahomes has only lost 15 times in his career. And in those 15 games when he's lost, the opponent has scored 35 points. So if that's the bench, I think Cincinnati can do it. They can score 35 points. And they have a +4 turnover margin during the playoffs. And I think they can do it. Ja'Marr Chase, 2 back-to-back 100-yard games. Look, it's a daunting task, but this team has proven themselves. They love the big moment. They know 7-point underdogs going against Kansas City, the monster of the AFC. They believe they can do it. And you know what? I've got Bengals great Gio Bernard with me as my pocket square, and they're
okay.
Going to do it.
Okay, I mean, maybe you have to save Gio Bernard for another game because he's playing for San Francisco. This panel hadn't mentioned Cincinnati all season, and now it's like, yeah, the path to victory versus Kansas City in the championship game is easy. Frank, you see it that way?
Yeah, unfortunately, I feel like everyone wants it to happen, and we're trying to wish it into existence. Let's remember what's on the other side of the ball, especially when Kansas City has the ball. And here's a situation where an organization that's gone 3 decades without winning a playoff game Now we're asking him to win three to get to the Super Bowl, and the last one on the road against Kansas City, against that team. Remember, when they beat him a few weeks ago, remember how that all played out at the end of the game with how many plays it took them before, you know, all the interference penalties, holding penalties? They would have given Mahomes a little more time at the end of that game. Mahomes,
how is this a path to victory, Frank?
Well, he...
How is this a path to victory?
We were asked a difficult question, not to say the obvious. There isn't one. There isn't. They need to play a near flawless game and hope that there's really no time on the clock left, because that guy is going to find a way to win. There is a quality about this guy that very few quarterbacks possess. He's almost impossible to
beat. You're talking about Mahomes. I want to go deeper on Mahomes, because the path to victory for Kansas City, maybe you would say it's, of course, Mahomes, and of course it's obvious. You know what's amazing? You guys were just talking about Joe Burrow and his arrival this season and everything he's accomplished, which is amazing coming off of the knee surgery he had. Mahomes has been here for 4 years. He's going for his third straight Super Bowl, and he's just 1 year older than Joe Burrow. Frank, what is on the line for Mahomes Sunday?
Well, once again, it's just going to add to his legend. And he did not have a good game the last time he played in the Super Bowl. He's going to need one more win to get there. But let's remember, there is, when I talk about a special quality, go back to when the Red Sox came back from 3-0 down and beat the Yankees, and David Ortiz hitting a home run, Dave Roberts stealing second base. Look at the Ray Allen three-pointer against San Antonio. Those are games and series those teams shouldn't have won. Kansas City, there is no way they should have won that game. I am of the belief in the history of the league, one quarterback could do what he did. And that's Patrick Mahomes. He did it last week. There is something about this team where they're on a roll. They're not stopping this weekend.
So you don't believe there's any letdown possibility after the game?
I don't.
Okay. Some do. Clinton Yates, I'll bring you in.
Not to mention, again, Frank, they almost lost the game. It came down to a coin flip that allowed them to go into the end zone. You're acting like they blew somebody out by 50 points. This is well within reach. As for Mahomes, though, I do think that his legacy is about as sealed as it's going to be. You get an MVP award, you get a Super Bowl that early, you got that kind of arm talent. This, to me, if they lose, isn't some major failure. He's going to be great for a while, and the pieces are okay. You lose to good teams sometimes, and when you're in the conference championship, even if it's at home, I think it's reasonable when the team is this good in terms of your opponent.
Respain?
Yeah, I mean, I think some people might say, okay, well, now we saw him go all the way, and now he keeps getting close and can't finish. But I think the majority of people are going to say he has a massive, long future ahead of him, that it will be always difficult to continue to pay all the pieces to keep the Chiefs great with the salary cap and everything else, and how long does Andy Reid stick around, and do you keep all your weapons? But we're going to keep having the discussion about the Chiefs being a great team as long as he is on that team, because that's what happens when you have a quarterback that is a sure Hall of Famer.
All right. So whether this can live up to the last time Cincinnati played Kansas City or the last time Kansas City played in that Buffalo game, I think we'd all like to see it try. But who knows? Justin, how will this game be won?
This game will be won like last week. Whoever has the ball last, I think that's the winner of the game. I expect this to be a very close game. I know Frank just mentioned there's a possibility this could be a route.
Okay. But you're not even picking a winner. Frank Isola, how about you?
I just think it's too difficult. I'd love to see Cincinnati win. I think it's going to be 35-10.
Yates.
Bengals, by a field goal.
Spain.
Chiefs win because of Mahomes and because there's not enough speed in the Bengals' backfield for Hill.
Dins, I saw you there underneath the mute. You lip said Cincinnati. I'm with you. I heard you.
I've tethered myself to the Bengals. I'm going with Jack
Fajoli
again.
We'll move on. Frisco, L.A., you people tell us it's hard to beat a team three times in a season. Does anybody know what the record is for teams that are 2-0 in the third game? 14-8.
14 out of...
So it's hard, but certainly not impossible. Pressure on Matthew Stafford, pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo, pressure on Rams fans to not get outseated by Niners fans in their home stadium, and of course Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. Sarah Spain, who's got the most pressure on him?
It's the Rams and McVay. You know, the record against the Niners is bad. They could have shut him out of the postseason entirely with a win in that late season matchup, and instead here they meet them with the opportunity to lose to them with the Super Bowl on the line. Like, we already had so much pressure on the Rams because of them going all in for Stafford and then making midseason trades to make their Super Bowl window right now. And then you add on that their biggest rival that they haven't beaten in the last six meetings could take them out of it when they were the ones that let them in the first place. Can't beat the pressure on the
Justin,
Rams.
How much stock do you put into that Shanahan 6-0 over McVay over the last six games? And maybe San Fran has a home field advantage in Los Angeles. How much stock do you put in that?
I put a lot of stock into it for one reason.
Go ahead, Clinton.
I put a lot of stock into it for one reason, which is Deebo Samuel. It's not about the coach. Deebo's got over 400 yards receiving, 100 yards running, and he's thrown a touchdown in those six games. He scored every time. You could talk about the psychological. The football itself matters. As for the pressure, I think it's got to be McVay in this situation. He made one Super Bowl, and everybody's called him the boy wonder out here ever since then, but this team has not achieved. You got a chance to get back to the Super Bowl at home to play it. At home, huge pressure on this guy as a leader of this team. I'm not saying his job is up if they don't win it, but people are going to look at him a little differently in terms of the football mind that he is if he can't get over this hump.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're 0-6 against the Niners in the last six, but McVay started off 3-1, so this thing can turn at the drop of a dime. And when we're talking about pressure, quarterbacks have a 2.3 QBR. And when Aaron Donald and Von Miller rush the quarterback, and Von Miller has seven sacks in his last six games. So the literal pressure is on Jimmy Garoppolo, because Jimmy Garoppolo, honestly, to quote Stringer Bell, he's a 40-degree day. He has a great postseason record, but he doesn't have the postseason moments. So that team is going to get after Jimmy Garoppolo because if you leave it in the hands of Deebo Samuel or George Kittle, then you're in trouble. You want Jimmy Garoppolo to beat you, and I think the Rams
from
will
LA's
test him.
Perspective. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And Frank Isola.
I'm so glad that Clinton mentioned Deebo Samuel. I love that guy. What a great player he is. Can do so many different things. And that's the thing about San Francisco. You know, they are 9-2 when Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't throw a touchdown pass over their career. That includes 3-0 in the playoffs when he does. They didn't score an offensive touchdown. They won. And he's been to the Super Bowl. I'm not putting pressure on him. I'm not putting on McVay. He's been there. It's still on Matthew Stafford, who, let's face it, in the first two games has been outstanding. Remember the huge pass at the end of the game that he threw to Cooper Kupp, which set everything up. But still, you go out and you get him. It's not just about winning playoff games. It's about getting to the Super Bowl. This is his opportunity, and let's not forget, it's at home, and you blew a 17-0 lead the last time you played. A lot of this is going to fall back on the field.
Sort of at home, I think we could say. Frank, how do you see it going down? How will this game be won?
Well, Justin mentioned the defense. To me, Aaron Donald, I'm putting him right up there with Ray Lewis and Lawrence Taylor. Just too dominant. I think the Rams' defense will give Jimmy Garoppolo too much of a tough time. I think the Rams will figure out a way to win it this time.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going back to the defense again. I think the defense for the Rams are going to be the stars on Sunday and the reason they advance back to the Super Bowl.
Now, Spain.
I'm watching OBJ because they're going to have to put so many bodies on Cup in the slot because they're bad with those great wide receivers in the slot. And then I'm really watching how they take Jalen Ramsey out of this game by making him follow guys around. If they can put him back in the box to cover the run game, it's going to make it a lot more difficult for the 49ers. So I've got scheme on this one, so I've got Niners.
And Clinton Yates.
Rams got to play big boy football. You got to run the ball more than 25 times and stay with it. You got to beat them deep. You have better athletes, better personnel. Don't try to outsmart each other. Just play football.
You've got Los Angeles then?
Who's winning?
Say the words. I need a pick here.
Rams.
Nobody picked the most important thing. Heads or tails in overtime. Coming up, buy or sell, we're going to break down the All-Star jerseys in 2 minutes.
Ooh.
What?
Yep.
Heinous.
The one on the... I like the orange.
Hated it.
Go back to 95 and 96.
Yeah.
Okay. Looks kind of like my shirt, though. A little bit.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
NBA All-Star, first the starters, then the uniforms. LeBron, Durant, Giannis, Jokic, Curry, Embiid, as you all knew. Morant, Young, DeRozan, Wiggins. The vote is one half fans, one quarter players, one quarter media. Frank, you vote.
Did the combined vote get this right? And did you vote for Wiggins and DeRozan specifically?
No, I didn't. I didn't vote for Trae Young. I voted for Zach LaVine. I didn't vote for Wiggins. I voted for Rudy Gobert. If that's who the fans want, I have no problem with it. I would just change it up. Just have the 10 top vote getters. They don't play East versus West anymore. This way, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, who deserved to be there, likely would have made it.
So you would just go to the fans again? Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't have a problem. If the game is for the fans, and if that's who they want to see, then
hey, if a man in a turtleneck like that tells me that, that's what I go with. Yes, Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, I'm very happy for DeMar DeRozan. He's very deserving of that honor. Rather, Wiggins, it is what it is. I would have voted Karl Anthony Towns, but it is out that Wiggins will be starting in an All-Star game in Cleveland, the spot that shipped him out of town before he ever put a jersey on. So that's a weird
storyline. That is a great storyline, I think. You say weird, I say great. Sarah, if you want to just hunker down on Wiggins for a second, because that's drawn the most attention, and then I know you want to talk about DeRozan, please.
Yeah. Well, we know how I feel about DeRozan. Well-deserved. The Wiggins one is a really great story, and yeah, there are a couple people, his own teammate, Draymond, Kat, Gobert, that could be argued for that spot instead, but it's not like it was one of those fan votes that was extreme. He was still fifth and sixth in the media and every other vote. He would have been a reserve. Instead, he's a starter, and I just kind of like that someone with so much promise has finally found a spot where his potential is realized.
And Clinton Yates.
I like the lineup because from Dalzell, South Carolina, to Crestwood High School, to Murray, Kentucky, to Memphis, Ja Morant is making his debut, and that guy's possibly the best athlete in the country right now. We'd love to see it.
The uniforms, Clinton Yates. I go to you for fashion. Is this something you can go gallivanting in? I mean, you get behind this?
Absolutely not. Those things look reversible like you bought them at a discount store. What is Nike involved for if you're not going to let professional designers design things in the most important moments of the year? This is an actual fail from a professional standpoint. Never mind a fashion one. I'm upset about it.
There's the man rocking the Ralph Lauren. Sarah Spain, how about you?
Thank you.
Yeah, no, the main jerseys look like pennies. That, like, perforated vibe has given me pennies you wear in practice. And the rising stars look like they went to design rising stars in middle school and asked them to make those. That is a terrible look, even worse.
As an NBA All-Star Game jersey expert and myself, please, NBA, just go back to the 95 and 96 All-Star Game jerseys. Those were the GOATs. Just please stop overthinking this. Just go back to those.
You consider yourself, and you are an expert. I've actually seen you in All-Star jerseys before.
I don't like the brag.
But to go straight to 95, 96, and Frank, just by what you're putting down today, I think you want everybody to wear a full suit with a nice collar tied over Billy Bat style over
Casanova.
Clinton is my stylist. Yeah. So I'm going with the expert. He's the one that told me to wear this.
I appreciate this. This is an incredible crew today. I mean, the style that Clinton's rocking. What am I wearing here? I mean, I don't even know. And Frank, once again, Frank, that you get the win today.
Hey,
Sixers 105, Lakers 87. But this isn't about the game last night. Roll tape.
Some things were said. Unacceptable. I'm cool with, fans heckling, fans talking trash. Cheering for their team, booing the other team. I'm all for that. But when you cross certain lines, as a man, you that's what you're gonna see. That's what you're gonna get as you saw that.
Fan who was removed from Philly's arena last night reportedly called Carmelo Anthony boy. Justin Tinsley, how do you consider this?
Never in the history of the world will it be okay for a white man to call a black man boy. That's just the truth of that matter. That wasn't Carmelo reacting off a you suck or a boo. This may be an unpopular opinion, but honestly, these fans need to get confronted about their actions. I'm not mad at Carmelo's reaction at all. It was justified, and I would have reacted the exact same way.
Right, guys, Sola?
Well, I think fans are being confronted and they're being kicked out because we've really never seen this before until the past couple of years. Just today, Cole Anthony of the Orlando Magic was fined by the league for directing a profanity at the referee. That's happened to Kyrie. It's happened at press conferences, Julius Randle and Kevin Durant. So I think, you know, the behavior and the conduct of everyone is being monitored. And guess what? It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, but in the last couple years, Frank, we've seen it quite a few times. Let's think about Russell Westbrook and what he said. Let's think about what LeBron had to deal with in Indianapolis. And now this particular team has dealt with this again. They're a little attuned to it. I think we're at the point, though, now where the NBA should say something because it just doesn't feel right to have players having to confront people in the crowd when, hello, they're the ones trying to play basketball. Y'all should be handling this as a league and as events total, not just letting the guys do it on their
speed.
Yeah, let's keep the focus on the behavior of the fans. I understand that in the heat of the moment, occasionally athletes are going to get a little out of control. We don't want that, but we understand it. There is really no excuse for fans to go beyond the line of certain things. And we've seen it way too many times, including throwing things, including racist language. That's the stuff that we need to be much harder on than expecting the athletes to be inhuman in their ability to be impervious to it.
Thanks for your thoughts on that. Sarah Spain, Justin Tinsley. Have a great weekend. Frank Isola, Clinton Yates showdown. 2 minutes.
Hey. There we go.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Nadal, Medvedev, Barty, and 27-seeded American Danielle Collins in the Australian Open final this weekend. Clinton, there has been heat in this tournament. There have been heel turns. There have been surprises. Who's the most interesting story in these finals?
The most interesting story to me has to be Danielle Collins coming back from endometriosis, just battling back. It's such a great story because I'm tired of guys yelling at other dudes on tennis courts, even if they do have okay. Great camera angles to show
the drama. Because Medvedev has really been pushing at this tournament. Frank, how about you?
Yeah, he's a bit of a John McEnroe type of brat. He gets into it with the crowd. He's getting into it with the chair umpire. You know, one thing about Collins, if she wins, she'll become the first American woman to win a major since. Mr. Trivia, you tell me what the answer is. You should know.
Oh,
you know.
Answer my question. Serena.
Answer my question, Frank.
Sophia Kennan. Give yourself a point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Frank, just for asking trivia, I'll give you a point, and we'll split the point with Yates. We'll move on. Goal of the Year nominee, a Zegras does not change its stripes. Last month, Trevor Zegras, the lacrosse assist. Last night, Trevor Zegras, the lacrosse goal. What was better, Frank?
Oh, I think the pass over the crossbar. You know, Gretzky was so good behind the net. I'm surprised that he didn't try this all those times.
What about Gretzky? Would you stop with Gretzky? Can you talk about Trevor Zegras? Somebody's like the most exciting player in the game right now. Go ahead, Clinton.
I think the pass was better because it required two players to complete the play. But my favorite goal from last night was from Quentin Byfield, highest drafted black player ever in the NHL. And he scored his first goal for the Kings last night. Good for you, Byfield.
I think it took two players to do this. Frank went backwards and Yates went forward. Yates gets the FaceTime.
We're in the middle of a lockout, and Cooperstown, New York is boring us all to death, but there's still baseball in the Caribbean Series that starts today. If you don't know, the professional champions in the Caribbean all face off in a tournament. It's in the DR. It's some of the best baseball you can watch. It's fun. It's festive. People have a good time and throw bats all over the place, and they play music, and then they name a champion, just like how baseball's supposed to be. You can tune into all the games on ESPN Deportes, just like me and all my friends do.
It's Yates. There it is. Today's winner. Isola, still phenomenal. You have a christening to go to, Frank? You don't go to Vegas and talk to a man like Mo Green like that, Frankie!